All right, so I taught on Monday and on the Word of God, and I didn't get even a quarter of the things I wanted to say about it. And we kind of went through how God wrote His book and how He's preserved it through time for us, and how we have it today. And I didn't talk about too much about how we have it, about the King James specifically, but we can do that another time. But So we were kind of leaving off on, let's go to Hebrews 4:12. And if you guys have any comments or verses to add, feel free. Try not to stand in front of the computer either. All right, so let's go to Hebrews chapter 4:12. So here, God gives us a lot of description of His Word. Okay, there's a lot of description here. So let's read this verse. So, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So, that first word that describes it says the Word of God is quick. And on Sunday, we talked about how the word quick in the Bible means alive, in contrast to dead, where He's going to judge the quick and dead. And so the Bible is alive. And we looked at, why don't we go through back through a couple of these verses, how because the Bible is alive, what it does is it makes you alive when you read it. And there's a verse in Psalms 119. Verse 25. Psalms 119, verse 25. And this verse says, My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." So here we see it says quicken, and that means make me alive. And how is he asking God to do this? He says, "According to thy word." And that's because the word of God, it quickens us. It makes us alive. And that's because the Holy Spirit is able to work through that and work in our inner man. Okay? And... Hi, Sarah. And because of that, because the Word of God is able to quicken us and make us alive, God also calls His Word the Word of Life. And we can see that in Philippians 2:16. So we're going back to Paul's epistles here. So Philippians 2:16. So this says, "Holding forth the word of life." Okay, so Paul, he's referring to the Bible here as the word of life, because we've seen that it's quick, it can quicken you, and Paul calls it the word of life. And, you know, it's really important to know where life is found in this world, because we all need life, and we're all born sinners in this world, and we're all born dead. And everybody you see walking around, if they don't have Christ, they're dead. And they're struggling with things in their life. And they're looking to find that whatever, that strength or that power, that life. And they're searching, whether they tell you or not. And that's why a lot of these self-help programs and a lot of these, you know, things on TV and a lot of these mega, kind of motivational speakers, they're all trying to give that life to people, because inside they're dead. And it's so important to know where it's actually found. And it's actually found in the Bible. And he says that right here. He calls it the word of life. And so first off, what I want to differentiate is the life that we get upon believing, our eternal life. And once we're saved, the life that we experience each day in our walk with the Lord. And the Word of God helps us with both of those. So let's first talk about how the Word of God, when we believe it, gives us eternal life. We kind of touched on this last week, but since it's very important to always remember that that eternal life comes from believing this Word in the Gospel, let's look at this again. So let's go to Romans 1:16. So Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." See, Paul knew he had it. He had the good stuff. He had the life. And you know what? He was not ashamed because of that. He said, "For I'm not ashamed." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." I have the thing that you need to be saved. And, you know, the world can really get us down and afraid to talk and to share our beliefs with the people around us. But it's important to remember what we have. And it's important to remember what we hold in our hands is the life for those people. And if you remind yourself of just what you have, and that you have the Word of Life, you have the power of God into salvation, you'll be able to more easily share your faith with others. Okay? And so that's what Paul knew in his life. He was not ashamed. Why? Because he knew that the gospel he spoke, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Okay? Let's look at Paul's gospel. What is it? So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Okay, so this is the gospel that saves us. "So moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Now here, verse 3. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." And this right here, about how Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose again, is what we need to believe for our salvation. Okay, this is the gospel. And you believe this, and you're saved. This is the Word of Life right here. And it's that simple.
Question.
Yep.
So, when Paul says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, which Scriptures being, is that he's saying died for our sins, as opposed to when it was Israel, when the Lord said that he died for many?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so according to the Scriptures, so the word that, the wisdom that God gave to Paul, so it was prophesied, there's verses in the Old Testament that say how Christ was going to die, and that he was going to suffer, but they didn't understand at the time what that exactly meant. It was veiled speech. There's verses where even the 12 disciples on the earth didn't understand what Christ was talking about when he said that he was going to die. And what Paul reveals is the full extent of what happened on Calvary. And the full extent of that is that he died for all, and all of men, from the beginning to the end, they're saved through Christ's death on the cross, through that blood. And the Jews in the Old Testament didn't quite understand that that's how their salvation was going to come about. They just trusted God that one day he was their Savior, and that they needed to rely on him. But it's when we come to Paul that Paul reveals to us that it was the cross, and at the cross is where our sins, personally, the Gentiles in this dispensation of the age of grace, And then also the sins of the whole world and all men from beginning, from Adam to the last person. And so Paul is the one who gives us that that full insight, that wisdom about what happened at the cross. And he kept that a mystery, and he kept that a secret. And he tells us that he didn't reveal it, or else Satan wouldn't have crucified him on the cross because of how important the cross was to the salvation of all men. And it was that blood on the cross. I don't know if this is answering your question or not.
Well, let me just say the fact that I think I'm getting my head around it. So when he says, I delivered unto you what I received,
yep.
Christ died. Okay, let's just take out for our sins, that Christ died according to the scriptures. Okay, that's definitely Old Testament. So when he says for our sins, is he like saying, here's what I received, and he's applying it to according to the scriptures about Christ dying? So in other words, the our sins is new revelation, but the death, which that was prophesied, was part of prophecy.
But they didn't understand it completely, the death. But yeah, our sins too, like, yeah, like he was talking to the Gentiles and saying, it was like to you, you know, your sins as Gentiles, our sins.
I just want to make sure, because I always, I mean, I understand it, but I always struggle with that verse because he does say, I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. So if he received it, that's new information. And then he says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, the gospel of grace was the mystery. But so what I'm trying to understand is he juxtaposing his new information with the old information? Is that what?
Yeah, I would say he's giving light into what he's fulfilling the scriptures.
He's expanding upon.
Yeah, he's fulfilling the scriptures in that he's explaining more about the cross.
Gotcha.
And that what happened on the cross was applicable to us, and what happened on the cross was for our sins. That's why he died. That's
right.
What it was all about.
And so that's the part where he's saying that I delivered unto you what
I
received.
I don't know if you have a better. Okay.
Okay. No, I'm good. I just want to make sure that I was understanding it correctly, because I struggle with that, of course.
Yeah, yeah, because it definitely talked about Christ's death in the Old Testament and
right.
in the four Gospels.
Right.
And that's definitely talked about. But there's also times where, even in, there's that verse in Peter where they searched diligently.
Right.
And they didn't understand the grace or about how it would come about.
Yeah.
And so they had the scriptures, they just didn't know, like, what is this death or what?
I think what trips me up a lot of times on that verse is the Lord talks about, or the Old Testament talks about, him dying for the sins of many.
Mm-hmm.
Paul reveals
yeah.
for all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's like bringing more light to it. And so it is new revelation, but yet he talks about it according to the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I guess that our sins added to the many makes all. Because mm-hmm. the many, referring to the Jews, that's what they thought. He was their Savior. I mean, their Redeemer, Messiah. And the Gentiles had to become a Jew.
Right.
Had to be a proselyte.
They had to come through Israel.
They had to come through Israel. And then Paul's talking about our. And then, I guess, if you add the R to the many, that's everyone.
Yeah. Okay.
But this, regardless, these are what you need to believe, is that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And you know what? You know who else knows this? Yes. And so if we go to Galatians 1.
I love it how it says that we need to believe, don't say things got prayed.
Yeah.
Come down to the altar.
No, it's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, we'll do one more verse before we go to Satan's take on this. Because of, like you just said, it's so simple. So Ephesians 1:13. So Ephesians 1:13 is such a simple explanation of salvation. And like you just said, it's about believing. So Ephesians 1:13. So, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so that verse right there goes through all the steps. You hear it, and you believe it, and you're sealed. And we just showed what the gospel was, and the gospel of your salvation, just like how in 1:16 it said the power of God into salvation. And it's that simple, like you just said. So now getting to Satan, and if we go to Galatians, actually let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:3. So if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. So we know the importance of this gospel. This is where life is. This is what everybody needs, every single person. And so what does Satan try to do? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, small g, the God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So, and this all makes sense. After we've seen the importance of the gospel, Satan's whole mission is to you know, put a shade over the gospel so that light doesn't shine. And you know how he does that? The gospel is words, right? Closing your mouth and hiding this book and having people listen with their ears to the book. So closing your mouth and closing their ears. And that's why, and eyes, that's right, their eyes. And
2 Corinthians 11:3. Satan beguiled Eve through subtility.
Yeah.
That your mind's being corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And like you were saying, it's so simple. And it's so corrupted out there.
Yeah, and let's read verse 4. 2 Corinthians 11:4. And this will actually go good with the verse in Galatians we were going to turn to. So we'll read verse 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians 11, 3 and 4. But I fear lest by... So Paul was afraid because he knows what's going on. He knows what Satan's trying to do. Lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Okay, so he's warning these saints here of someone who's going to preach something else than what Paul has preached, because it's Paul's gospel that saved. And over again he says, my gospel, my gospel, my gospel. And right here he says, if someone preaches another gospel. So, that's how there's only one gospel that saves. And it's this one here. And let's go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. And we see the same thing. Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Alright, so Galatians 1, 7 through 9. Verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So, I mean, it can't get any plainer than that. And there's not much more that, you know, it's these warnings and over again, because Paul knew that it was, that's how you get saved, and that you need life. And because he knew that, he was always worried that they were going to believe something else and be drawn away with some enticing words of, you know, something to do with the flesh, something to do with the law, where it's not to do with Christ and his death, and something to do with your own works and your own, something to do with yourself and not him. And that's what these other gospels are all about. That they're not about how Christ died for your sins, it's what you can do about your sins. And that's really where Satan is working today, is to preach these other gospels, these gospels of self-works, or something about yourself, about self-righteousness. Okay? So that's about our eternal life, okay? About the gospel, our eternal salvation, about the Word of God and its importance to securing that for ourselves when we believe. And then Paul also talks about the life that now is and laying hold on eternal life right now, and how in our daily life, if we ignore Paul's teachings, we can become carnal and we can die. And we know that Ephesians 1:13 told us how we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And we're sealed until the day of redemption. And there's nothing that anything can do to remove us from being with Christ in the end. And there's a difference between what is referred to as your standing and your state. Okay? Now your standing is where you stand before God eternally. And your state is kind of your everyday walk. And the life that we have in our standing will never be taken away from us. Our everyday state of where you are day to day in your own mind and in your own life, that can fluctuate. And there's times in the Bible where God called the saints, you're dead, you're carnal right now, you need to wake up, you need to listen to me, and you need to come alive. And your state, the Word of God, is critical to having life in your everyday life. If we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, chapter 4, verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. And so this is talking about the two types of life that I just described, the eternal life and the life that now is, that we can have today. And we can lay hold, Paul says, lay hold on eternal life. And that's something that, let me look it up here, lay hold, eternal. So if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, so just a couple chapters over. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Okay? So this is eternal life right now in our daily life. And we can have it. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to experience his joy and peace and all the things in our inner man that we're going to experience in heaven. And if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 again, if we go to verse 13, so we'll start in verse 13. There's a couple of verses here that help us understand this. So, till I come, so he's talking to Timothy here, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. And I kind of have understood that to be that's the gift that of doctrine and teaching that Paul has put on to Timothy in his own life that he has lived by. With his Paul's hands, he has taught Timothy his doctrine, and that is the gift that is in him of the Spirit that has come about from that, and not to neglect that. And how? In verse 15, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And the verse that I want to focus on here is in 16. It says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this, right here is the key point here, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Okay, so that word save, and that's, we need to be saved from the things of this world in our daily life. And you know how we do that? He just told us right here, all these verses, verse 13, till I come give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. And this is something that we need to be doing continually. And this is something that we need to be doing every day. And yet again, Satan knows this. And so for believers, what does he try to do? Get us to not continue with the reading and the doctrine. Distraction, anything he can do. And yet again, we need to realize that this is where our life is. And if something in your life is a little off, if you're suffering with something, confused about something, you're not going to find the answers anywhere else except right here. Okay? And until you come to the Bible and come to God's Word, it's going to keep going worse for you. Okay? And I just love this last part of the verse. This thou shalt both save thyself. And if you really want to make an impact in the world, and them that hear thee. Okay? You're the answer to the problems, to the world. You're the answer. The world has their own committees and their own doctrine of how they're going to solve the world's problems. But none of that is going to work. It's what you have to say. And that's pretty awesome that we're that important. And we should really value that, what we have to say. So that was kind of the first, yes. Better. It's we can go to Romans. Where is it? Where it talks about renewing your mind? Romans 12. Yeah, Romans 12:2. And just like you said, how Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it's all about renewing your mind with what's in the Word of God. And a lot of people expect change to happen from someone else, like trying to change God's mind, when in reality they themselves never change. But it's all about you changing according to God. Okay? Getting your mind in line with His. Okay? And it's about renewing your mind. And this is something that takes a will. Okay? It takes a wanting to. And if someone doesn't want to change, they're never going to. It's all about a will to change. And a will to come to the Word. you put a Bible in front of a lot of people and you tell them that all your problems will be solved with these verses, and a lot of people won't open the Bible, and that's just the reality of things. And then they expect their situation to change, and that's not the way it works. And
I've heard it said, you know, people want to say, what's God's will for my life? And what I hear Richard say a lot, is you come to the Word and you apply what's in the Word to the situations mm-hmm. of life. It's not the other way around.
Yep.
And that's how you know. You know, God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and that knowledge affects those daily things.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So we'll move on to our next point in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews again, where we read about the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Alright, so for the Word of God is quick, so we just read about that. Now, the next one, and powerful. Okay? There's a cool passage in Psalms chapter 29 that talks about the power of God's words. So let's go to Psalms chapter 29, verse 4. So, Psalms 29, verse 4. So, actually, the whole rest... So, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. And the cedars of Lebanon are described over and over again in the scriptures as... well, first of all, God often compares living men to trees, okay? Different types of trees, like actual trees with leaves, just as an analogy. And the cedars of Lebanon are described in the Bible as the biggest and strongest trees. And he compared the cedars of Lebanon to Pharaoh, the person. And we can see that in Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 2. Chapter 31, verse 2. Okay. So, with that verse in mind, how he breaketh, his voice is powerful, it breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. In Ezekiel chapter 31, verse 2, it says, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches, and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running around about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, above all men upon the earth. And his boughs were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of the waters when he shot forth. And all the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs. I don't know if I'm saying that word right. And under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, and the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir tree were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Okay? And in verse 3, what did he call him? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon. Okay? He's referring to Pharaoh as the most powerful man that has ever lived.
So much of that description sounds the same thing it says about Satan or Satan says about himself.
Yeah.
You can hear the as you were reading it.
Yeah. And you know what that verse in Psalms we said? He said he breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. You think you're something? If anyone ever thinks they're something, you just show them those two things right there in Psalms, and then you read about Pharaoh. And you know what happened to Pharaoh? The waters came down and swallowed him up in the sea. And he's long gone. And I mean, on a side note, I've heard it where the sea, how God, it says he can yield the waters, and it talks about how his breath is as frost, and how some people say when he spoke it froze the waters on the side, and when Pharaoh came in, he melted them, and they enveloped him, so that was kind of like his voice breaking Pharaoh. And, I mean, that's a possibility. I don't know if that's what it actually means. It could be that when God constantly gave the word to Moses and it to let his people go, and it hardened his heart, and that hardened his heart made him very prideful, and that pride eventually grew with each time the word came to him, and eventually caused him to fall. And it talked about how that pride, and it is the pride of the devil and the pride of everyone that causes them to fall. But it's just interesting how God in Psalms said his word is powerful, and how it breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. I'm very clearly comparing Pharaoh to the cedars of Lebanon, the cedar of Lebanon, above all the other trees. And I just thought that was very interesting. So about his word being powerful, there's a lot to be said about this. And we'll have a few verses here. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That word of his power is how he upholds all things. And if we go to Hebrews 11:13. Wait, this is not the verse. That's not the right verse. There's another verse in Hebrews that talks about his word and how he formed everything by his word. How he from the beginning he. There's a verse. I don't know if you know.
Isn't it 1:2?
Yeah, I think that might be. Let me just make sure. It's very similar to that verse, I feel, but I'll have to look for it another time. It's about how He formed the everything by his word. Anyways, we'll go to Colossians 1:17.
That's what I was thinking was Colossians 1.
Okay. Well, there's a good verse in Colossians too, so Colossians 1:17.
That's 11:3. That's Hebrews.
11:3.
Oh yeah, what's that?
11:3.
That's probably what he meant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. 11:3. Okay. The little one threw me off. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which were not made of things which do appear. Okay? So it's just saying how all that has come to be was from His Word. And we see that in Genesis, about before He spoke things, let there be whatnot, and that was His voice. And after He spoke that, things came to be. And He was able to look upon those things and see that they were there and say that they were good. In Colossians 1:17, it says, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." And we read in Hebrews how that happens, how He upholds all things by the word of His power. And everything in the universe, from the spiritual things, the principalities, the powers, the established layers of, you know, things in the world, to the physical things, to everything that there is His word brought it into being, and it's His word that keeps it. And it's kind of interesting because it talks about how they were framed by His word, and it talks about how He upholds them. And when we just talked about that eternal life, our standing and our state, we're saved initially by His word, and we're kept saved and are saved daily from the things of the world with His word and the doctrine. And it all has to do with His word from the beginning to the end. So, the importance of His word. Now, God, in the age of grace, Paul talks about this word working in our inner man. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18.
Chapter 1, verse 18.
Yeah, I've messed up one verse already. It's possible I messed something else, but...
No, you tell it was heard.
1 Corinthians 1:18. So this is the first of a few verses that will show the Word of God and how powerful it is in our own life. So, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay? And, yes?
So, is it safe to say that the ones who perish are really the ones that you spoke about earlier, who are saved?
Yep. Yes, exactly. The word perish in the Bible means to die, dead, forever. That's exactly right. And they think that this is foolishness, that they don't want to listen to it. Okay, they think that in their own pridefulness, in their own lust, in their own whatever it is that they don't want to come to God, they view it as foolishness. You know what they say? It's too simple. Okay? Have you ever heard that before? You can't just sit on your couch and get saved. You know what? We're all laughing. Because that's foolishness to them. Okay? That's where the simplicity comes in. That's where what they think is foolishness. And you know what? Because of that, they die. Because there's only one way of life, and it's through the gospel. But even after we're saved, the preaching of the cross still is the power for us. Because it's at the cross where we see how we're crucified with Christ. Our old man is gone there. Okay? We're free from that. We're set free. We're risen with Christ. Okay? We're risen with Christ, and now we're alive right now, this very moment. And we're alive and risen with Christ, complete in Him, with all spiritual blessings, standing, sitting with Him at the right hand of God, and heirs of all the promises that Christ is going to get, we're going to get. And you know what? How you take hold of that eternal life? By just believing these things. And it's that simple. And that's how you lay hold on this eternal life and lay hold of that power in your inner man. And Paul talks about this a lot. Let's go to Colossians 1:11. Suffering and just, you know, showing them grace and love. And at the end of the day, it's their decision.
Right.
And it's up to them. And you, if they don't want to.
I'd be interested if she says she believes in a higher power. I'd be interested to hear how she personifies that.
Yeah, what that is exactly.
To tell her who his name is.
Jesus
Christ.
Him I declare unto you.
But yeah, it's just. You know, it's sad because that also brings the sorrow when we know these things, you know. And that's when Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, therefore we persuade men. And he talks about how he doesn't want people to perish. He says that in other places. Knowing what you know. But knowing that could help you to overcome the discouragement, and you only know these things when you continually renew your mind, or else it's going to get you down. You know. So for you personally, maybe the next person you meet, maybe because of this person and the bad experience, you're discouraged, and then that person loses out on hearing. That's why it's up to you. When you face discouragement, to go to the Word and let it bring you back up so that you can reach to the next person. And it's a constant bringing you down. This is a fight of faith. That's why Paul says it's a fight. And then he says, lay hold on eternal life, because he knows it's a fight. And there's punches being thrown. And the punches are coming towards you. The way you punch back is with power. Right? You know the power punch? Like the Hulk hands, you know? Like, we have the Hulk hands. You have the big power punch. And let's read about the power punch in Colossians 1:11. Alright? So, you want to know how Paul got through? What he got through? He said he suffered more than anyone else. He must have had something going for him. Colossians 1:11. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with thankfulness, with joyfulness. And we'll read, let's go to, so strengthened, he was strengthened. We need to be strengthened, okay? And without God, we're weak to save ourselves for salvation, and we're weak to overcome the punches thrown at us. And strengthened with all might. All, every single ounce of it. And according to his, and if you're not, if it's always on you, if you're not feeling strong, then you gotta do something about it. And you gotta get in the Word. Because if there's no excuse to not, at least you can have nothing in this life and be as Paul was. Naked and afraid. Wow, I just quoted that TV show. But you know what I mean? As he said. And you could be as him. And you can still have all might. And it's your own fault if you don't. Okay? Because you can. According to his glorious power. And you know what this power brings us? Patience and long suffering. And joyfulness. And a couple more verses. Romans 15:13. Alright, this verse is awesome. Alright, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now this is just what we're talking about. And now the God of hope, he's in your corner, alright? He's got the hope, he's got everything you need. And you know how you take advantage of that? In believing. Okay, it's through the word. And it's like we read in Timothy, how he encouraged him, keep reading, keep giving attendance to doctrine, and meditating, thinking about, absorbing, listening to the word of God. This is how you take hold of the power, the eternal life, and to be filled with those blessings in our inner man, the fruit of the Spirit. And this is how we overcome the fight. This is how we win the fight. And it's in believing this word here, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And let's go to, we'll end on this verse in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. This verse will kind of nail it down one last time. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Okay, he was so thankful that these saints received his word. So there's a lot of words there. Let's break it down a little bit. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. You know, when he was so worried about these other things, this was one of his biggest fears. But you know what? These saints, he was so happy that they were sticking to his word. Because when he received the word of God, which he heard of us, he received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. It meaning they believed that it was true. They received the word and that it was true.
Because if I was the word of man, it wouldn't mean much to
them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they understood that what they were getting was the word of truth. And they believed. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually it's able to, okay, worketh also in you that believe. It's all about that word working in you and when you believe. And you gotta receive this word as is in truth. This is the word of God.
When you were saying that, I thought Acts, talking about these different people, and basically they were just giving their work, and that it amounted
to nothing. And
this,
because it is the word of God, it's so powerful. Anyway,
yeah.
Anyways, my mind.
Yeah, James.
I can't help to get you through the suffering, but I just flesh is just so weak. And really, I mean, get through it because even having
Yeah.
Had this, you know, if I came to deal with it, because I know I'm not Paul by a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I'm
mm-hmm.
So if you keep going in the wrong direction, well, I guess I'm the one Paul guy.
Yeah,
help us too.
Yeah,
yeah, you.
It just seems so hard to really get your relationship
hard. You look like you're about to say something.
Nah. You see how it is on the other side. You see how it is on the other side.
You gotta do. Each and every one of us has the same problems. It's that there's no temptation that is not common to man. And saying how each and every one of us, even Paul, struggled with his flesh. And there's that verse that says how about Paul talking about how strong his flesh was, and he even does the things he doesn't want to do. And what does he say? He says, in his mind, he made up in his mind his will that he wanted to serve Christ. And if you want to, like you said, there is a way. And you got to remind yourself each and every day about these things. It's a continual battle. When you wake up and when things come your way, you gotta just take a moment and get your mind straight and recall the Word of God. And the Word of God will help you, each and every one of us, with whatever it is our flesh is throwing at us, those punches. And it's a matter of walking circumspectly, not as fools, but wise. And to always have our eyes open. And to try, and if there's something in your life, he says, don't make provision for the flesh. He says, cut it out. And if there's something that brings you down one way, whatever that thing is, try to avoid that. If it's a person that, or a place or something that makes you angry or makes you do something, try to avoid the situation. That's applying the Word of God to your life, not making provision for the flesh. And there's so many verses in the Word of God that when you apply them to your practical life, they will help you with staying walking with the Lord. And it's important to really think about your life and where you want to be, and to let the Word of God help you get there. And it's hard though, but there is a way. And you just gotta have that will every day. That kind of rhymes. Yep.
All back, he took off for a month, so everybody had to get
mm-hmm.
This is the verse that said, every day, take us further and further and further away from God. And the reason was just depending on Bible study here to get recharged. By the time the month was over, they didn't remember what they believed or what they didn't almost.
Yeah. It's that verse, the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. And,
yeah.
Alright, well, we're getting kind of long on time here, so we'll end in a word of prayer. Alright. Dear Lord, we thank you very much for your word and what you've told that about us, what it is. It's quick and it's powerful, and we need it to bring us life and power every day. And we pray that we can also spread this message to the people around us so that they can experience your joy and love as well. Amen.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That's dynamic.
Yeah.
You're a little more excited. You were less nervous.
Yeah, I think on Sunday morning it's like, but here I can more be myself. After Sunday, I was like, what did I just say? Well, I knew what I said, but I was like...
So on that last answer to James' question, so it's kind of pulled down to if lamb chops are heartburn, and you don't want heartburn, don't eat lamb chops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why that popped into my mind.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the recorder.
Oh, yeah. I'll let you turn it off.
Just be just like Friday.
Yeah, she thought I was writing a thesis. things to make notes.
Yeah, you see, I want all the people.